Well, good morning. Greetings in the name of Jesus. And it's a joy to be in the house of the Lord this morning and to see each one here. And as we were sitting down and looking around, there must have been something happened here last night. And Martha was taken by all of these heads hanging on the wall. She's looking for a wall decoration in the house. I'm not sure which one would work, but where she wants to hang it, it's not going to work because I come out of the bedroom, I'll hit my head on it all the time. So anyway, but it's a delight to be with you here this morning and to open the Word of God and to allow the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning. And if you have your Bibles and you turn to the book of Psalms, and we want to take a look at Psalm 42. Psalm 42, beginning at verse 1. And as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast or discouraged within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Heavenly Father, again, we count it such a privilege to come together in this house of worship, this house of praise, this house of prayer, that we've come together here, God, wanting to hear from you, expecting to hear from you. And God, we allow and ask the Holy Spirit to direct, Lord, everything we say, to help me to rightly divide the word of truth. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see you today, hearts to receive. God, that seed of the Word of God that we can take forth from here. I ask that you hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ, where He is seen and only He. And we ask it in His wonderful name. Amen and amen. I'd like to take a look this morning at the idea of, as we move on now into March and we focus on the 31st, Easter Sunday, a time of great celebration, a time of great rejoicing within the church, the body of Christ. And as we look to that, we find in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, where in Jesus, beginning at John 13 and through chapter 17, talks with his disciples in the upper room, and Jesus is preparing them for what is in store. Now, in John 13, verses 1 and 2, Jesus does something that is kind of goes against their thinking. And we're going to talk about that in a couple weeks. But then when you move over into chapter 14, Jesus says several things to his disciples that we can hear today, that we can hold to today, that we can take to ourselves. And the first thing that Jesus says to them in John 14, 1, he simply says, let not your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be distressed. Do not allow your heart to become agitated. Do not become discouraged for what I am about to tell you. Do not become discouraged for the times of uncertainty that you will face. And we as a nation, as a world, really, we are facing a time of uncertainty, a time of uncertainty in the Middle East, a time of uncertainty even in this country about things that just, you got to scratch your head and say, am I really hearing what I'm hearing or seeing what I'm seeing? So there's a great time of uncertainty. Now, we don't have to do that, you know, corporately or as a country, as a nation. But there are times where we individually, even as families, face times of uncertainty. Now, we can apply these words of Jesus to our lives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not become discouraged. Do not become agitated. Do not become distressed. And so that is what we want to look at today. We want to take a look at this antidote for discouragement. And discouragement simply is losing the desire and motivation to continue doing something that brings purpose and satisfaction to one's life. We lose the desire. We lose the motivation for continuing to do something that we started with great and high expectations about. But what happens when that excitement and that motivation dwindle? What happens when our expectations aren't met? And that can be applied to our lives. That can be applied to any relationship. That can be applied to a job. That can even be applied to church. We have certain expectations and about church and how we feel church should be run. And what happens if those expectations aren't met? What do we do? What do we do as a church body? What do we do as individuals? What do we do as couples? What do we do? Where do we go? Discouragement is something that everyone deals with at some time in their life. No one is immune from this. Years ago, Pastor Benner and I went to Atlanta, Georgia for Billy Graham School of Evangelism. And there was a preacher there that preached on the devilish deeds, one of the most powerful messages I have ever heard. And this element of discouragement was one of the devilish deeds. And how we can counteract that, and we must counteract that. We must fight to not allow discourage overtake us. No one is immune from it. Maybe you're here this morning in this sanctuary, fellowship hall. Maybe you're struggling with being discouraged about something you heard, something you saw, something you're sensing in your own spirit. Maybe you're discouraged or battling it. You're not alone. It seems as if everyone has dealt with a broken promise. Is that you? You've dealt with somebody made a promise to you and broke it? An unfulfilled expectation or a shattered belief. We have to admit that sometimes life can be hard. Life can be hard, but as believers today, we must be committed to doing what is the right thing, doing what is the good thing. And I will tell you right up front, doing the right thing sometimes is the hardest thing. And maybe you have found that to be true. But Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, he says, therefore, do not become weary in doing what is good. Do not become weary in doing what is right. But he says, in due season. Well, when is due season? I don't know when your due season is. I don't know when my due season is. I have to believe and trust that God knows what in the world he's talking about when he says, in due season, you will reap a harvest. If you don't quit, if you don't give up, and you don't give in to discouragement. We may see other people succeeding, prospering. Their troubles are way fewer than yours. And what about when somebody is praying for something like you may be praying for, and you're both praying about the same situation or whatever, and that person's prayer is answered? How do you feel? Do you say, God, we need to talk about this? That person's prayer was answered, mine isn't. What is going on? Or do we rejoice with that person that their prayer is answered, and we continue to press in and seek the face of God and continue to pray, standing on the word, standing on the promises of God? Martha and I were talking to a couple recently, very recently, and she has been diagnosed with a stomach condition called gastroparesis. And her stomach has problems and trouble processing, digesting food properly. And she has lost close to 80 pounds because of this. And she went to the Mayo Clinic a couple weeks ago, and they put her on some medicine. And now if the medicine does not work, they're talking surgery, which is quite an intense, severe surgery. And talking to him and talking to her, they're becoming discouraged. They're not seeing anything. He said she's been taking this medicine now. By then, it was 4 days, and there hasn't been a change in how she feels. So what do we do when change doesn't happen when we want? Change does not happen how we want. Do we continue to stand firm? Our Sunday school class was contending for the faith. Fight the fight of faith. Paul said, I have fought the good fight of faith. And how do we do that? We stand on the word of God, and that we shall not be moved from what the Bible says. What Jesus said. We have this book that is the written word of God, but we have Jesus who is the living word of God. We have to believe it. In Proverbs 13, verse 12, from the Message Bible, it says, unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick, but a sudden good break can turn life around. Have you ever just been hit with one issue or one thing after another? You know, you've been hit with one thing and you lose your breath and you're just about to have your breath back and something else comes along and hits you, blindsides you. Just a multiple repetition of things coming at you. What do? A sudden good word, a sudden good break can turn things around. Martha's told me many times back in 2002 when she lost her first husband of cancer. She was going through a very discouraged time. Discouraged time, praying for her husband, believing God was going to heal. But he wasn't. And Martha said she was listening to a preacher one day, and he talked about how when God brings change in your life, we have to accept that change. We have to accept that change and walk out in the change that God brings. That's not what she wanted. But we have to be willing to trust God. These overwhelming times in our life can become the greatest teachers of how to depend on Christ. These difficult times, these valleys that we walk through, and we walk through valleys. We don't have to be afraid in the valleys because God promises to be with us. So we walk through these valleys, but these can be great teachers of us. And sometimes we don't look at them as such. We don't look at them as such. I remember a pastor one time going through a lot of physical problems. He said, he never said, God, why me? He said, what do you want to teach me? That is a powerful attitude. God, what do you want to teach me? What do you want to show me during this time? And Andre Crouch wrote a song, Through It All. And the last lines of that song is, you know, if I didn't have a problem, if I didn't have problems, I wouldn't know that God couldn't solve them. That trusting in Him, what faith can do. And sometimes in life, your faith will be challenged. Sometimes in life, you're going to have to stand firm in and on what you believe. And we are told to do that. Instead of going down in defeat, we can rise in the glorious power and victory that we have in Jesus Christ. In Psalm 91, verse 9, from the New Living Translation, it says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. Now, that sounds like a pretty good verse. Now, we read that, and could we possibly get the idea that if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I will not encounter problems. I will not encounter difficulties. I will not encounter hard issues or hard places in my life. That is not what that verse says. It says that if we make the Lord Jesus our refuge, our fortress, we abide in Him. It says no evil will conquer you. It doesn't say that it won't try. It doesn't say that it won't come against you. And how do we counteract that? Paul says in Ephesians 6, he says, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. And he lists it there. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith. And he says, above all else, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so he says, and when the time of evil comes, you will be able to stand. And so when those times come, he says, stand firm, and what? You do everything that you know to do, and then stand firm and strong in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have a responsibility to do. You have a responsibility to do. And when we do that, I do all I can and you do all you can. We allow God to do everything beyond that. But we have to believe and trust in God. It's our choice. It's our decision to allow this discouragement or evil to conquer us. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. We're not to become discouraged. Back in Deuteronomy 31 in verse 8, Moses in this chapter is telling Israel, he says, I'm now 120 years old. I'm not sure I'm going to see 120. Who knows, right? But he says, I'm 120 years old. I'm not going to go across the Jordan with you. God's already told me that. But he said, God himself, the Lord God himself, will go ahead of you. And he says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And then he draws Joshua aside and says, hey, basically the same thing. He said, I'm not going over. You're going to lead the people across the Jordan. Do not be afraid. Do not become discouraged. If you go over in the very next book, Joshua chapter 1, God himself is speaking to Joshua. He said, my Moses' servant is gone. Now the mantle is given to you. It's up to you to lead the people. It's up to you to do that. He says, and I, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. What you see me do in and through Moses, I will do in and through you. As I was. I'm not going to walk away from you. I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to be with you. And he says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And we know that we have an enemy that's out to rob, kill, and destroy. But the beautiful thing and the truth and the reality is that we have someone that is greater living on the inside of us as a follower and believer in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God has already provided the victory through his son Jesus. And the great one, God himself, dwells in you. Take time to think about that sometime. The greatness, the goodness, the power of God dwells in you. In 2 Chronicles 20, there's a king by the name of Jehoshaphat, and he's the king of Judah. And Jehoshaphat gets a report that there is this massive army that has formed and it's coming against him. Now, you know, as a king of a nation and you get that news, you're probably going to be a little shaky. But it says that Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. In other words, Jehoshaphat said, I'm taking this to God. And that's what we can do with any problem, dear people. Take it to God. And Jehoshaphat called for a fast of the whole nation. And many people came. Lots of people came to Judah. And they fasted and they prayed. And he stood and he declared in his prayer, God, we know who you are. And he declared who God was. And he declared then all the things that God had done for them, his faithfulness. And it comes down to the latter part of that passage of scripture. And it says, God, we see this army coming, and we are so outnumbered, we do not know what to do. But we resolve to do the one thing and the most important thing, and that's to fix our eyes on you. Dear people, that is the most important thing that you and I can do. When adversity comes, when problems come, and they will, you do not have to become discouraged. It may seem like you're going to be so overwhelmed, and you may be consumed. And we can't keep our eye on the storm, but we have to keep our eye on the one who can calm the storm. When Jesus spoke, and when he was in the boat, and they got him awake, and the disciples, they were about, you know, to be killed within the boat and the storm in the sea. Jesus got up and he just said, "Peace." And the disciples were so marveled. They said, "Who is this guy that even the seas obey him?" Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. We read that verse. Weeping may last or endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. But, you know, sometimes we have to admit that the night can be so long. Our nights can be so long. Our nights sometimes can be so dark. And we might ask ourselves, will morning ever change? Or will morning ever come? Excuse me. Will things ever change? God, I've been this way so long. Is things ever going to change? When is the light going to dawn? As you read through the Gospels, and we see many encounters of Jesus with people in their darkness, in this longness of night. One was Mary Magdalene, who Jesus cast out 7 demons. How long was her night? I don't know. But by scripture, her condition was pretty bad. And then we look at the lady with the issue of blood. Her night was 12 years long. 12 years. She had gone to the doctor. And there's nothing wrong with going to doctors. Thank God for good doctors. She spent all she had, but she got worse. But she heard about Jesus. Jesus stepped into her world. And if you allow Jesus, he will step into your world if you invite him in. And then there was the lady in the temple. The Bible says that she had been afflicted with a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And Jesus came into the temple and he saw her and says, why should this daughter of Abraham be loosed from that spirit of infirmity? And he healed her just like that. And the Bible says that she was crippled and bent over, and she straightened up. Her night was long, 18 years. You know, sometimes we don't get an answer within an hour. You know, this is not a drive-through thing. We like drive-through, right? Drive-through food, drive-through banking, whatever. We like that. This is sometimes is not a drive-through. Sometimes you got to allow things to quiet ourselves. The Bible says, "Be still and know that I'm God. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait for Him to act." So we see all of these people. We see with all their conditions. And David, even in his life, he experienced the highs and the lows. David knew what it was to hear the people sing about his victories and, you know, write songs about him and, you know, exalt him as a great warrior. But the other side of that, David knew what it was to be hunted by Saul as well. So he knew what it was to be here. He knew what it was to be down here. But the Bible says that he remembered. He remembered during these times of low, we're low in that valley of, and we're struggling. He remembered all that God had done for him and through him. He remembered what it was like to praise and worship his God. He remembered what it was like to worship in verse 4 with shouts of joy and thanksgiving. Now, is it okay to get radical for Jesus sometime? Let me ask that again. Is it okay to get radical for Jesus sometime? Amen. There you go. There you go. I heard on the message station one time, I heard this singer, and he was talking about basically the same area, the same subject. And he said, the harder the problem, the louder the praise. The harder the problem, the louder the praise. And when I read that and I thought about that, I thought of old blind Bartimaeus. You know, old blind Bartimaeus, he was, of course, blind and he was begging. And Jesus and his followers were coming out of Jericho and he heard this commotion. And I'm sure this is my own interpretation of it. But he heard what was going on and he asked, "What is going on? Why all the ruckus? Why all the commotion?" And they said, "Jesus is coming by. Jesus, I heard things about him. I heard of the miracles he did." And Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And of course, all of his buddies and his people around him said, "Shut up. Shut up, Bartimaeus. You have no right. You have nothing to call on Jesus and to yell out at Jesus. Who gives you the right to do that?" And of course, Bartimaeus was compliant, right? No. He did the only thing that a person that is desperate to do. He yelled louder. And when he yelled the second time and louder, the Bible says that Jesus stopped. And he said, "Bring him to me." And then all of his friends said, "Hey, Jesus wants to see you." And it says he got up, threw away his begging garment because I believe that he believed he would not need it again. And he went. They brought him to Jesus, and Jesus simply said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "I want to see." And Jesus healed him just like that. And I wish I could tell you that every time we pray, our healing or our answer is just like that. Sometimes it's not. But that's why we cannot become discouraged and give up. That is why we cannot become discouraged, but continue to pray, continue to give, continue to seek. Because the Bible says, if you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. You're going to find me to be what you're seeking me for. Seek me for what you need. Seek me with your whole heart. The Message Bible says, when my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you. When my soul is in the dumps. Do you ever really have a bad day? Nobody ever had a bad day. God bless you. I've had them. But I got over them, praise the Lord. But when my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you. I rehearse, I reflect, I remember, and go back and think and dwell on the things that the goodness of God. You know, we simply say, God is great, God is good. We're familiar with that little mealtime prayer. But do we really stop and think the goodness of God? Martha and I talk all the time how good as God has been to us. We are greatly blessed. The goodness of God and the greatness of God. The Bible says God is great and he is greatly to be praised. The greatness of God, the awesomeness of God, the faithfulness of God. I can testify to that, how faithful God has been down over the years. Faithful he has been. Great is thy faithfulness. I can say that with all honesty, that faithful, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Have there been challenging times? Yes. But God has proved himself faithful every single time. Something for us to remember, always remember, is that you are everything to God. You are everything to God. And you don't need a name tag for God to know who you are. You know, you go to these things and they have name tags and you look at the name tag. We don't need to have name tags for God to know who you are or to remember your name. And then this statement is, you have never lived one unloved day and you never will. You have never lived one unloved day and you never will. God thinks the world of you. God loves you. That's why he sent his son to the earth, to the cross, to pay a price that we could never pay. So if and when we ever battle discouragement, if we find ourselves in a dark night, a long night, if we ever find ourselves questioning, will things ever change? There's things that we can do. Fix your eyes on God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Put our hope in him. Begin to praise him. Reflect on what God has done for you in the past. We do that, God can put a smile on your face. For he is God. And if you're here this morning and you're battling discouragement and you're really struggling with something, whatever it may be, and you may not be, and that's fine. But if you're struggling and you've confronted or discouragement is coming against you and you would like to pray, I would love to pray with you. End of the service, I'll come and pray with you. That's up to you. But there is an answer. There is a solution to discouragement. Praise God for his faithfulness, his goodness, his greatness. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your loving kindness, your tender mercies. Your grace that's so sufficient, Lord, today. And Father, I pray this morning for that one that may be here that's really going through a difficult time, discouraged. Will things ever change? God, I pray for that one this morning. Holy Spirit, speak into their heart, their life today. That there is an answer, and that answer is Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for being here today. We know you're here. We know that you are in this place. And we commit, Lord, this rest of the service to you. And we pray it all in Jesus' name that you would get the glory. And all of God's people said, amen, amen.